This is Anime Afterlife Podcast, Episode 10. I'm your host, Dave the Zombie. And we have our co-host, Vincito.
Get it up. Wait, and what? Sorry.
What did you just say?
Nothing. Whoa. Hi.
And our manga specialist, King of Hearts.
Yo.
And our guest this week, Lurkst.
Howdy doody doody do.
And our other guest this week, Jose. Alright, so let's get to the news.
Alright, I'll start off, I guess. I've got two news articles. One is Summer Wars won an award at the Anaheim International Film Festival in California. It was an audience award for best animated feature, and I just thought that was interesting because I remember Vin posting the trailer on the blog, and it looked really cool.
Of course.
That trailer looked really awesome.
But truthfully, how many animated features are there?
Two other ones.
What were the other? Does it say what the other two?
The Ugly Duckling from Russia and Mars from the U.S. Mars. So really not a bunch of stiff competition on that one.
There's no competition.
Yeah.
I think Summer Wars stood out. Would have stood out no matter who it was against.
Yeah. And then my second news article is something that I got really excited about. The 12th volume of Kimi no Todoke got distributed about a month ago, and it's already hit 1 million copies, and this is the 7th consecutive volume that Kimi no Todoke sold over a million copies. I really like hearing news about that, so I thought I'd bring it up.
I need to get into Kimi no Todoke eventually because
yeah,
I want to watch the anime because the second season is coming up. So
yeah, it's coming in January, and I'm excited for that. But that's it. That's all I had.
That's cool. Good on that series. All right. And
Jose, do you have anything?
No.
King.
All right. It turns out that NIS is actually publishing Neptune out in America, and they're calling it Hyperdimension Neptunia.
And what is Neptune, King?
Neptune is basically, I don't even know how you can describe it. Basically, it's a parody of the piracy war that's going on right now. But in this, all the video game systems take the form of like these busty girls, and they fight the R4, which is, you know, the evil.
Aside from the Wii, that really doesn't have a busty character.
The Wii is the lolly character.
Yeah.
Didn't see that.
But the PS3 and the 360 definitely have busty characters.
You know, it's pretty funny. So, that's that game.
They even should have the Sega Neptune on there, or whatever.
Sega Neptune never came out.
Shut up.
Yeah. But they have PS3, 360, and Wii. And then
I thought they had Neptune, though, too.
And all the big companies that help make the game get their own personification, too. Like, there's an NIS one, and a Compile Heart one, and a Gust one, so it's pretty interesting.
Nifty.
It's kind of odd that it only comes out for PS3, yeah, and like includes, you know, all those other three consoles.
Well, NIS doesn't like 360, if you haven't noticed.
That's true. Alright, is that all you have?
And really, do you really think a game like this would be meant for a 360?
I don't see why not.
I don't see many 360 gamers going out to buy this.
Yeah, there's no way this would even do a speck of good on 360.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Tales of Vesperia sold fine, didn't it?
It's not even going to do good on PS3, so. What do you think did good?
Tales of Vesperia?
Not really.
I don't know.
So it did all right, I guess. For a Tales game, it did pretty meh.
New Appleseed series is being greenlit. So that's kind of cool to hear about for anyone watches Appleseed. I've been meaning to watch it myself, but
you haven't seen the movies yet?
No. I know about the movies, so you know they're on my like Netflix queue, and they've just been sitting there for a while. But
they're okay. They're nothing that good. Nowhere near that good. Even the OVA from the 80s wasn't really that good. None of them really stand out. But and you can get them confused with other CG anime that, around the time, like Vixen or something, that were actually way better.
So, well, wow. Maybe this could be better, you know, for all we know.
I don't know. Appleseed doesn't have the strongest of stories.
But, yeah.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, that's what I have.
All right, let me get going on this then. Okay, Tetsuya Egawa, the otherwise known as the author of the Golden Boy manga, is going to be doing a spin-off for the God of War digest book on November 11th in Japan. It's going to be around the time of the new Ghost of Sparta game for the PSP. But he's doing, it's basically just a manga of God of War. And it's done by the guy who did Golden Boy, so who knows. King knows exactly how that's going to turn out, probably. Let's see, Mariaholic's getting a second season for its anime series. I still need to watch the first season of that, and I'm pretty looking forward to it. Let's see, Myochiki, it's this light novel, it's a romantic comedy, of course, they always do this, is getting an anime made off of it, so who knows about that. A Channel, I don't care, it's a 4Koma, its anime has been confirmed, and I really want to find this manga because it looks fun. And I cannot find it no matter where I go. The president of Nippon Animation, an anime studio, has recently passed away. I don't know what to say about this, really. He was 80 years old. I don't really know what to say about that. It sucks, but it sucks when people in this industry die, and it seems to happen a lot lately. On a side note from that, you guys are familiar with the Ishoni Training series, right? The one that big-breasted girl working out or something, whatever.
Yeah,
I think there, so.
There's going to be a third one coming out called Ishoni Training Bath Time.
Right
it's
on.
With two girls, and it's going to be a bath. It's going to be instructions on how to bathe and stuff. If you're not familiar with the series, all they do is take manual tasks and teach you how to do them properly. Like, the last one they released was Sleeping, which taught you how to sleep properly. I don't know. It was weird and really stupid.
I don't know why you watch
this. This series sucks. It's terrible. Don't watch it. But it's one of those things just to get, you know, views or whatever.
They're the same developers from that OVA with the psychic girl, the lesbian.
Oh, the something about shooting stars, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, shooting star or whatever. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah, whatever. Let's see here. The new Shaft anime has been confirmed as Magical Girl Madoka Magica, I think that's called. Yeah. And it's going to be done by, it's been done by the guy, I think it's the director of Bakemonogatari. I believe it is. Yeah, it is. Shinbo. He directed, you know, the director of Bakemonogatari, Sayonara Zispo Sensei, Arakawa and the Bridge, The Portrait de Petite Cassette, all that amazing shit that Shaft does. He's basically the godfather of Shaft is what I like to call him. And he's doing a new anime. And so maybe I'll look forward to that more than the Shaft anime that's on right now. You know,
I thought he's working on the prequel to Bakemonogatari.
I thought so too. I think he's doing both, actually. The prequel to Bakemonogatari and this new anime that he's coming up with. And last news, Sofuteni, I think that's how you say it. It's a comedy manga. It's a comedy sports manga about tennis. It's getting an anime made off of it, so I'm definitely going to check that out because I love sports animes and mangas with an all-girl cast for some reason. I don't know. It's just who I am. And that's all I really want to talk about. So, yeah.
A lot of news.
Yep,
what about something happened to the writer of Pokemon? Like,
oh, yeah. He's in the hospital right now. Apparently the writer for Pokemon, or the creator really, he was at this train station, he collapsed and they had to rush him to the hospital, and apparently he had I can't even fucking read this, but apparently some hemorrhages in his head, so they had to rush him to the hospital.
That sucks.
Yeah, there's nothing really nothing really new on that. No updates or nothing right now, so.
Yeah, hope he gets better.
I do too.
Well, maybe I'm not cursing him or saying he should do this. Maybe if he's there for long enough, we could stop having sequels to Pokemon every fucking year or whatever. That's just what I'm thinking.
They'll milk the series either way.
What?
They'll milk that series.
Way. Yeah.
They'll milk that thing forever.
Whatever. Forget it. Forget what I said then.
All right. Well, I guess that's our news for the week. Then let's move on to what are you watching or reading. Let's head it up to Lurkst.
Alrighty. Aside from all the fall animes that are out right now, which I'm watching a good number of them, there's like two other animes that I'm watching on the side aside from all those, and one of them being Hellsing. I don't know.
Did you finish Hellsing yet?
No, I'm on episode 9 right now.
Okay.
I have like 4 more episodes to watch. I don't know why a lot of people like this. I'm not liking this anime at all.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, it's kind of like, it's not really easy on the eyes.
No, it's very repetitive. It's a lot of, like, the first episode is really neat in how it starts out, but then after that, it just goes through the constant thing up until episode 5, where, Hellsing gets invaded, and then after that, it goes through a lot of other repetitive stuff where it reintroduces characters, and it tries to go through a lot of backstory, and it's just... I keep falling asleep during this anime, and it's just really not that interesting at all. The most interesting thing was actually this past episode that I watched was episode 9. I don't want to say what it is because it would spoil a whole lot. But I don't know. I don't know why.
Was that the one with the Integra?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was probably the most interesting episode so far. But it just a little disappointing that it would take 9 episodes to actually hook me into something that's only 13 episodes long.
Well, the people who like watch the series also say like the OVA is so much better because like they pretty much finish the main series within the first two or three episodes of that OVA and then go on further than that. Because the series technically doesn't really end. Well, I would say, but you'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. But and then there's a second one that I'm watching. It relates to the fall season animes. There was a lot of second seasons going on with this fall season, and I was kind of deciding on maybe I should take one of those and actually watch the first season so I can watch the second season. And I chose between Index 2 and Tagamibachi Reverse, and for some reason I decided to go with Tagamibachi. So
that was probably the better choice, because Index 2 has been...
it's not lately. Bad, clone.
Oh, like, shut up, bad. Dave. You're just riding on Index's dick because you missed the series so much.
It's just you have to wait till you have to warm up to it.
Ah, that didn't happen in the first season for me, but it's not sure as hell not going to happen in the second season.
You gotta wait.
Ah, whatever. Hopefully it doesn't suck as bad as Rogan did. I'm sorry. If anyone's a fan of Rogan, I don't mean it sucks. But as long as it's not that, as long as it doesn't go there, then it might. It'll still hold my attention. Whatever. Okay.
Alright, but I've been watching Tagamibachi, and what Tagamibachi is pretty much Tagamibachi is translated as letter B, and there's these people throughout this whole entire world of, I think it's called Amberground. These people called letter bees, they're pretty much postmen. They go around this whole entire world delivering letters, and they're all run by this head bee who lives in the capital, and so on and so forth. So the whole anime starts with one of the main characters called Gauche. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that. but he's given the task of delivering this letter, and when he's going to go pick up the letter, it turns out that it's not really a letter that he's supposed to be delivering. It's actually the other main character who has a stamp on his arm, and as an aside, no letter B is supposed to deliver anything unless it has like a specific stamp filled out with everything. So our main character, whose name is Lag Seeing, has a stamp on his arm, and he's, you know, his mother was taken away from him by people from the capital, and so he was just left alone, and he was, and she wanted somebody to deliver Lag to his aunt. So the first couple of episodes deal with Lag and Gaucha going through Amberground to, you know, for him to deliver Lag. After that whole event, Lag decides he wants to become a letter B as well. He goes through the whole process of becoming a letter B, and I've just ended it on episode 8. I think I might have ended it on episode 9, where he's just been, like, inducted as being a letter B. And yeah. For me right now, I don't know where exactly I feel about this anime, because it's leaning between being good and really fucking annoying. The reason I say that is because Lag Seeing is one of the whiniest little fucking bitches I have ever seen in an anime. He cries throughout every single episode, and I just don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to go through the rest of this if he constantly has to do that. He just seems to find that everything is just sad and dreary and just depressing.
So it's a heavy drinker anime, basically. You're supposed to watch it when you're heavily out, you know, buzzed off your ass or whatever.
I wouldn't say that. He's just always crying, dude. In every single episode, he finds something that's completely sad and starts crying about it. Even episode 9 is even titled The Crybaby's Vow, because he is referred to as a crybaby throughout the entire anime, I've heard. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I'm going to continue watching it because I've, you know, just decided to watch it so I could watch Degami Baichi Reverse, so that's what I'm going to do. The last thing I want to talk about is I finally started reading manga, and the first manga I've decided to read was Kimi ni Todoke.
Was that in English?
Honestly, I really don't know. I did a review of this on the last episode I was on, and the manga actually continues on from where the anime left off, and a lot of stuff actually happens after the anime ends. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that happens. Sawako definitely grows up a little bit more. I don't want to spoil nothing, but some big events happen. It's getting really good. I just finished chapter 50 right before this podcast. A lot of neat things are happening right now. I'm really excited to see more chapters come out. And yeah, so that's what I've been watching and reading.
Then let's move to Jose.
What I've been watching or reading this week? In the weekend, I watched Afro Samurai. I finished watching it, even the Resurrection.
Yeah, I caught that on the while you were casting a bit of that on the feed.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I like the art style. I like the story too, except for the fact that when at the start of Resurrection he gets attacked and he's supposed to be that spoiler.
You just liked it because you like listening to Samuel L. Jackson.
That too. Why not?
Well, who doesn't?
It's cool. It has really funky, jazzy music, some hip-hop, some rap, really bad rap, but whatever. I've been catching up with the new shows, episode 4 since 3, so far. I think Backman and My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute are the ones I enjoy the most.
Metal Sister Can't Be This Cute is like a really good show this season.
And whatever show came out today, I haven't finished watching it. I think Milky Holmes is picking up too, somewhat.
Oh, God,
Milky Holmes has been pretty good lately. I'm sorry.
Really?
Not all of you guys.
It's pretty decent. I don't know.
It's actually pretty decent.
Is it really?
The latest episode was pretty good. I found myself chuckling.
I don't know.
And they like how the bad guy isn't really bad, you know? She's like doing things for them to make themselves better without using their powers and stuff.
Like, yeah, you could tell with the last episode that they were trying to make the main characters, you know, stronger or better at what they do, because they were, back when they were actually detectives, they were relying too much on their powers and they never really could do anything without them. And I think she,
now they're connecting with each other more, trusting each other, and there's the pet that's been helping them. And
I really liked it when they played Twister. It was funny.
Oh yeah, and at the end how the girl returned. Yeah. That was cool.
That was funny.
I've been watching
his exes too. I've been only up to episode 4.
He's talking about the OVA series, not the TV series.
No, I'm watching I'm watching the TV series and I'm enjoying it.
Hello?
So far.
Hello.
I still haven't seen the so-called girl at peace. I still haven't seen her. The first episode, they're cool. I like them. It's like watching hentai with actual story. It's good. And To Love Ru, that's something else I've been watching. I'm halfway through. It's pretty cool. It's just finding new ways to make the female characters get naked. I don't know.
Are you watching? That's about it. To catch up to the second season.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up with the second season. Same like Lurks. I was thinking of for Index or To Love Ru or Tagami Bachi. Wait. Yeah, Tagami Bachi, Index, or To Love Ru. And I picked Index and To Love Ru. I'm watching Index, some of it. Just watched the first 3 episodes. It's cool so far.
Yeah.
That's about it.
All right, then let's move to King. What are you watching or reading?
All right. I've been reading Kuroko no Basket. For some reason.
Is this just a coincidence that you brought this up tonight or something?
And hates it? I don't know.
I've never read it, so I can't say I hate it.
Basically, it's a sports manga, but it's the over-the-top sports manga. It's a basketball manga, so all the characters in it have like special powers and stuff that is related to basketball. It is so hilarious. Like, it starts off with the main character. He was on like the top basketball team for middle school. So they thought all the top basketball players would be going to the same high school, you know, to still reign supreme and stuff. But it turns out that each of the team goes to a different high school. So it's like a rivalry going on between them now. But the main character, his power is basically, he's so unnoticeable. It's like he's invisible. And so he can do whatever he wants while he's on the court. It's really interesting. Like one of the characters, wherever he shoots from, he always makes it. So they can just hand him the ball when they're tossing it in, and he'll shoot it. He'll make it from anywhere on the court. It's hilarious. Another thing I've been reading was Witch Hunter. Not Witch Hunter Robin, it's just called Witch Hunter. And it's about, like, the world is, you know, thought to be normal, but eventually it turns out that witches and, you know, witches are actually real. And they come out and they declare war against humanity. And they pretty much, you know, destroy everything. But a few people stand up to witches, and they're called witch hunters, of course. And these witches, basically how they destroyed everything, they have familiars, of course. And these familiars are basically, you know, they depend on whoever the witch is. But some of the humans have learned how to use familiars too. And the main character's familiar's name is Halloween. And so that's why I was really reading it. It's like this stupid little tiny puppet with a jack-o'-lantern on his head, and he's stupid. So, and he's always making some stupid pun or something. And it turns out that his sister is actually a witch as well. So she's one of the ones that helped destroy everything. But she has a very big brother complex, so she really likes him. And whoever gets in her way of her and her brother, she usually kills and stuff like that. And she said he's the main character. His brother's just really trying to, you know, stop her from being crazy, I guess. It's been doing pretty decently. It has a pretty high score on Mao and stuff like that. I didn't think, you know, it was that big.
Let's move to Ven.
See, it ruins the vibe, King. It ruins the vibe.
Whatever. Shut up.
All right, my heart's going to explode here. Anyway, okay, what I've been watching and reading this week, I'm not even going to talk about this that much because I really just don't feel like talking about it. Sun Domain. Basically the title means stopping just before or something like that. Something like that. It means stopping just before. And in this instance, it means stopping before you climax or whatever. And it's not an H manga. No matter what you say, it may sound H and it does look H when you read it, but it's not. It's a very just raunchy, ecchi manga. And to be honest, I just read this because a friend was talking to me about it on Mal, and I was like, okay, that sounds pretty cool. I might read it. And then I read it, and then after like the first few chapters, I started to hate it. Like, I wouldn't say it's an NTR. It feels like one though, because you have this girl that transfers into the school. You have the main character is a really nice guy. He's this shy, innocent kind of guy. He's in this club that's called, I can't remember the name of it. But it's this club room where the guys are basically dedicated to never have sex with girls and basically graduate with their virginity intact. It's kind of stupid, but
so they commit celibacy?
No. Basically, the people who graduated from this club, like they're called the OB or whatever. They send these people called assassins, that are, you know, like girls that are there just to have sex with these guys for some reason. I don't know why, but you don't know who is an assassin, basically. And the former club president gets attacked by assassins, and she has, like, some kind of fetish, and she did it. I don't know. It's stupid. Anyway, the main girl transfers in, and she decides that she wants to join this club with them. And the main character is appointed to be the new club leader because the old club leader was already taken by an assassin already. But basically, the whole manga follows the main character, and it's a slight romance. It's a romance, of course. But the main character falls for this girl because, you know, she has all the perfect... It's kind of like Ikora King, kind of. Like, the main character only likes a certain type of girl. Like, he only likes a girl with the specific parts that he likes, kind of. Anyway, but it turns out that this girl is perfect for him or something like that. But when he, like, decides to actually confront her about this, she tells him that she will never, like, I don't know, something about never having sex with him or whatever. And it's really depressing because later on you find, like, it basically, it's just a bunch of foreplay for the whole manga. And it goes through a lot of instances, but eventually you start actually feeling the connection between the two, you know, the main girl and the main character. It's really deep and it's really, like, character study borderline. And this ended up being one of my favorite mangas so far. I have not read the last two volumes because they stopped scanning it online because fucking Yen Press licensed it in America, and I just ordered the seventh volume through Amazon, but the eighth volume is not coming out till December, so I have to wait till December to finish this series, which sucks because it's already done. But it doesn't matter about that. What matters is this series gets really depressing. Later on, you find out that the girl lives alone, basically. Her parents, they're mentioned. Like, she says that her parents are dead, but she's, like, a master at lying or something like that. Like, you can't tell when she's lying or when she's telling the truth. You find out that she gets random nosebleeds every now and then, but it's not, like, comical nosebleeds. It's serious, fucking life-threatening nosebleeds. And you see in her room, sometimes you see guys, like, shoes or guys' clothing. So you start suspecting that this girl is you know, doing something wrong. But it's a very deep love story. Like, the farther it goes on, the more they start, you know, getting into how much these two people actually care about each other and how it's never going to happen between them. So I know how it's going to end because I already read a spoiler about it, but I'm trying to blank it from my memory so I can be surprised when it actually happens. But it's a pretty good manga, and I love this author because he really knows how to make characters real, but his settings are terrible. Like, this is the most unrealistic manga I've read. It's not that unrealistic, but it's very unrealistic if you understand any of that. But anyway, that's all I got to say. I don't want to talk anymore about it.
What? I'll read
NTR
Crap.
Sounds interesting.
What, Dave?
I'll read NTR Crap.
Don't read it. You won't like it. It's borderline NTR. Like, it's heartbreaking in that sense. So, the other thing I actually watched something is because of this, Kazuta Okada, the guy who wrote Sundome, he also wrote this manga called Not in a Textbook, which was adapted into an anime called Very Private Lesson. And I actually watched this because I was actually really interested in Sundome. And this anime sucked tits, man. I finished it. It's only two episodes long. It's an OVA. It was terrible. Like, fuck, this is the worst anime I think I've seen in a long time. I mean, it's not the worst, but it's the worst I've seen like the past maybe few weeks, I guess you could say. Now, it's not Apocalypse Zero worst, but it's very bad. But it's like, I don't even know what to say about it. It's an unrealistic setting about the main character is a teacher. He wants to get with this other teacher that he in his own school, but also the female teacher wants to get with him, but there's a bunch of misunderstandings, so she never gets a chance to. There's the main girl is this 16-year-old student who transfers to the school because she meets the teacher one night. I don't know. It's weird. And there's no explanation for why any of this stuff is happening, why the girl likes him, or why the guy. It's basically the girl is this daughter of this famous, like, Yakuza gang or whatever, and her father decides to leave her in the care of the teacher, so now the daughter's living with the teacher and she goes to the same school and stuff. It's all this stupid shit, and there's a lot of, I don't know, it's stupid, but it's not what I expected from the guy. So I just think that the only good thing he's written so far was Sundome, so I guess I'm not even gonna dabble in the other stuff he's written because I don't think any of them are gonna live up to that. But and the last thing I want to talk about is this manga I know Dave is going to be super excited about. Anyway, it's called Little Busters. It's by Key. You know, Key, the guys who made Conan.
Why I don't like Little Busters?
You probably.
Wow.
And it's about, I don't know what to say. It's about, you know, it's a normal Key situation. It's school life. It's about a group of friends who want to make a baseball club together. And there's a bunch of...
They're younger kids, though.
Really? I thought they were high school kids.
Well, I read like two chapters. I remember now. They started off young, but it like skipped ahead, I think.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Little Busters.
Little Busters starts in high school and...
Does it? No, they start... Okay, I'm thinking about something else, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay, anyway.
I tried reading Little Busters and I didn't like it.
Alright, whatever. It's six chapters in. It's not that far. There's also a Four Coma based off of it. It's based off the visual novel... The same name, I think, probably, because that's how Key works anyway. Hopefully there's an anime adaptation, because the characters in this seem really fun to watch, because there's, I really don't remember any of their names, because it's really short so far. You can't get invested in six chapters, but basically it's just about a group of friends who want to start a baseball team, and they go around, where I'm at right now, they're going around trying to find new members, and they find these really interesting characters. Like, the main character is this guy who's he's your average. He's not a delinquent like Okazaki was in Conan or whatever. But he doesn't take school seriously. Kind of he would skip class if it gave the chance. You know, so far it's just them recruiting teammates for the baseball team. But it has a lot of it reminds me of the cast of Angel Beats. Not really, I guess. Any Key animation cast really. They have all the hit characters, you know, like they do have the Sunder character, they do have the best friend character, but this time they have the Sunder character has an older brother who's like very protective or whatever. I think he's like their senior or whatever. They have a shy girl who's a very innocent. They have a strong girl, samurai type girl, you know, stuff like that. It's all, you know, the typical, not horror, kind of horror, but Key animation cast kind of.
Four Coma's probably better.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what to say about this. I hope it gets an anime because it seems really interesting. And I will, because Dave doesn't want read manga that often, I think it would help.
I try. What I've been watching for the past week is Fairy Tale. I mean, we're kind of in this little filler part, but you know that
we are just, they doing filler?
Well, like, you know, a little bit of bit on Lucy's past, but that's just about it. And I haven't really told you about this, Ven, or King, because I've been keeping this under the radar, but I've been watching Air Gear, which is about this... You don't like Air Gear, King?
I won't say I don't like it, but I won't say that I do like it.
I mean, it's an okay series. You know, yeah, this is about this world where, you know, gangs form around these roller skating, but these roller skates...
Yeah, I like their skates. They're awesome.
Yeah, they're not like regular roller skates. They're like electric-powered roller skates. And, you know, they can, like, boost and speed just by, like, adding pressure onto those skates. I think that's kind of cool.
It's so stupid.
It does get a little ridiculous. Like, you know, these gangs trying to fight for the top leader roller skating gang. I don't know. It's kind of weird, you know.
Who does this manga again? I forgot.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but...
Because it's funny because this the people who do this manga, they do a lot of other ones too, right? And they made, what's it called, like a crossover fighting game with all their mangas in it and some of the people from Air Gear on it. And they're, you know, just roller skating around beating the crap out of people. It's pretty funny.
Air Gear's, it's just okay, you know. I can't really say that I laugh at that series or that the action is really good, but it's just fine.
It's like, yeah, it's a good time waster. If I have anything else, you know.
Yeah. And the other thing I've been watching is something like some series that I really needed to get my spirits up, so I decided to watch this comedy that everyone's like, a lot of people have been praising. It's called Hayate, the Combat Butler. And I first watched the series about a year ago, and when I got back into watching it, I remembered why I dropped it in the first place. And that was because this series is just not funny at all. It's just like, it's just gag after gag. It's really like childish humor, and you can't really like, it's kind of uncomfortable to watch these characters try so hard to be funny, but you know, at least it's not trying to be something too serious. It's just something like, just some time waster or something to get your spirits up. And you know, that's pretty much what I've been watching. I'll probably like put it on hold for again for a long time, because Jesus, that's like a really hard series to get into.
I enjoyed the manga when I was reading it, but I did stop reading it. I guess it got old.
You know, King, in the Soul Eater dub, Free, is that his name? Free or Freedom?
Freed. With Freed? A D.
With Freed.
Freed with a D.
Freed has a good English voice.
Really? I didn't ever notice his voice. It doesn't matter because he's only in the anime for like, what, a few episodes.
And then he disappears like a magician for some reason. And it doesn't matter. Anyway. Sorry. Okay. Anyway.
That's what I've been watching. So, let's head out to our review segment. Let's head up to Lurkst. What are you reviewing this week?
This week, I'm going to be reviewing Strawberry Panic.
Oh, so you decided on Strawberry Panic?
Yeah.
The anime or the
I was...
The anime.
The anime.
Yeah.
I was actually talking with Ben about this. I was actually kind of deciding on whether to do Strawberry Panic or Picano, but I think I would end up with Strawberry Panic.
Oh, man. What? Everything for me.
Who are you talking about?
The person he ended up with.
Who are you talking about?
The person he ended up
Who?
With.
Who?
I'm not spoiling it.
Who's he?
What?
Yeah, who's he? Are you talking... Good. I know you're not talking about Strawberry Panic, because...
It's go 100%.
Reasons. Oh, you're talking about that's just eat strawberry 100%.
Oh,
Strawberry
okay.
Panic's a totally different series.
Okay, I'm getting things mixed up.
Yeah, there's no, there's not a single dude in Strawberry Pants.
They shouldn't use the same.
That's why I got confused.
They shouldn't use the same freaking words for main game. But yeah, right. I do hate who they made the main character Ichigo 100% end up with. That's a different story.
Okay, as long as we get that out of the way. So, Strawberry Panic is about this girl named Nagisa Aori, and she's a transfer student transferring to this all-girls academy, which consists of three different schools. It's St. Miotors, St. Spica, and St. Lulim? Lulim?
Lulim.
Lila. Alright. Lulim. Sure. And the first episode starts with her, you know, running up to the school. She's all excited. She sees all these different girls dressed up in different outfits. She's like, oh my god, look at her. Look at them all dressed up and shit. And, you know, while she's doing this, she trips, falls down a hill, kind of gets disoriented, brushes herself off, starts walking, trying to figure out where she's going. And she meets up with our other main character, Shizuma. And she's so taken away by Shizuma's beauty that she can't move. Shizuma kisses her on the forehead. She faints. Next thing she knows, she wakes up in the nursery with her. She finds out that it's her roommate who's Suzumi, and pretty much begins from there. It pretty much deals with. This whole anime deals with the relationship between Nagisa and Shizuma and the different sort of, I wouldn't really say conflicts between them, more of like Nagisa really wants to find out about Shizuma's past, and she has kind of a really sad past with a different girl that she fell in love with. And she has Shizuma has a hard time kind of coping with it and kind of getting over it. Because you find out later on in the anime that she has this constant problem of always being with different girls, but then she would kind of brush them aside and not really do anything with them after a week or so. She would just kind of brush them away. But then she meets Nagisa and it, you know, she's taking a greater liking to her than any of the other girls that she would have been with. So it just deals with that. And it also this whole anime deals with like other sort of relationships, like the one with Hikari, who's one of the other main characters, and Amane, actually. And it just deals with that relationship. And what I really like about this anime is how it deals with the different relationships throughout the entire anime, but it still remains true and focused on the one with Nagisa and Shizuma. And I don't know, I really enjoyed this. A lot of different, you know, there's a lot of sad parts throughout this anime. And especially with, you know, when you really find out about Shizuma's past, and when she finally decides, when she tries to break down, tell Nagisa, and that whole spiel that happens. And, you know, there's a lot of other things that happen with other relationships in the anime, and it's a really good romance. I remember torrenting it, and I watched it like through and through in about 3 days, and it was pretty much one of my favorite animes when I finished it. And I think I'm going to give it I'd say 4.5 out of 5. I really enjoyed it a lot.
That's a pretty decent score.
Yeah. I just liked a lot of the relationships, especially with Hikari and Amane. Especially,
yeah, you know. I liked how the relationships took place and how you find out, oh, she's her best friend, oh, but she likes her too, and so on. The relationships tend to mix up, even different schools. But what I didn't like is that there was there were no rules. There was no one, even though it's Yuri, you know, there's no one enforcing that being a lesbian is wrong or being bisexual is wrong.
Right.
And even in hentai, you tend to see that sort of there, that this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this, but you're doing it. But Strawberry Panic doesn't have that. That's what I really disliked about it. And even at the end, I actually watched the episode before the last one. And it's still
yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I think I don't know. It was just really good. I don't know what else I can say about it. There was actually one thing. There was like conflicts between two relationships with Hikari and Nagisa, pretty much with their roommates. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I swear to God, I felt so bad for Yaya, who's Hikari's roommate. Even though she kind of did, you know. Well,
that's going too much into it. The best point of the anime is somewhere around episode 14 to 16. And it's the part where Nagisa finds the truth about Shizuma's past.
Actually, that was actually like episode 18 and 19.
18 or 19? Yeah, that's
no, it's actually both point. Of them. It's, well, all right. Yeah, I don't want to get too much into it.
That's the best
point in it. Yeah, that's the definitely the height of the anime. That's like the two best episodes. Those I could not believe like what happened in those two animes. I mean, two episodes.
Yeah, it was all tense. Her trying to tell her, or you just wanted to see them together. Come on, get together now. Kiss or something.
I know. They really know how to build tension in this anime. They really do know how to build tension. Yeah. But yeah, that's my review. It's really good. I liked it.
What did you get this out of 5?
4.5.
Okay.
Not quite at a 5 yet. That's for stuff like Clannad After Story.
Now we move to Jose. What are you reviewing this week?
I'm reviewing Black Lagoon.
Oh.
Something that some of you haven't seen still.
I'm working on it.
I haven't seen it yet. Although I've heard about it.
Yeah. Black Lagoon. It consists of pretty much four main characters. Dutch or Dutchy. There's Revy or Two Hands, her nickname. And no, it's not because she gives good blowjobs. There's Benny and Rock. His real name is Rakuro. The anime, it starts off very great. It starts very, very dark and very... starts very dark. It starts off with Rock and showing how he's a businessman. Throughout the start, exactly in the first episode, like, first 3 minutes, he ends up meeting the first main character, the rest of the crew, after the hijack of a ship. He is pretty much taken as a prisoner, but he's just a businessman. He's not really valuable to the company he works with. So he ends up sticking with them somehow. He's a pretty moody guy. He's very serious, and he's very out of place. Due to some specific circumstances, he's prevented from going back to Japan. He finds himself very comfortable with the Lagoon Company. That's the pirates that capture the ship. They're pirates. They're pretty much like the pirates down in South Africa with the RPGs and whatnot.
I thought they were mercenaries when I first watched.
They're pirates, and they're delivery boys, basically. They pick up stuff from one country and deliver it to another, whether it's legal or not. Usually it's illegal. Yeah, the deliverers are very over the top, and there's tons of faction, guns, explosions. There's chase sequences. there's a decent amount of gore, some sexual connotations. Yeah.
Sounds like, what's that anime then? The one that's on PlayStation Network.
What do you mean?
The anime that was on PlayStation, that started off on PlayStation Network.
Basilisk?
No.
Zam?
The one that was made by the people who made Eureka 7.
Zam. Oh, that was made by the same people who made Eureka 7, though.
Yes, it was.
It was not.
Yes, it was.
It's a lot like Eureka 7.
No, it's made by the same people who made Eureka 7.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, Zam of Lost Memories.
Yeah, Zam. It sounds
Zam wasn't like gory, and it wasn't
I didn't
sexy.
Say about the gore. I'm talking about the deliveries and the pirating and stuff like that, you fool.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, this one isn't that gory. It has its comic relief. Perhaps as much as Baccano or Durara, and with as much action. It has much more explosions, though, and it's more manly, I guess. There's been two seasons, and the third season actually is coming out in OVA. It's two episodes so far. The second season is more of the same. It even includes some incest throughout the first few episodes. The first arc isn't really like the rest of the series. It's totally different, but it goes slowly back to normal. Black Lagoon is very rough. There's a lot of references, way too many references to historical events, politics, movies, books, TV shows, you know, things from the 80s, 90s, or even World War II references, things that you may not know yet, but once you look at them, Black Lagoon, and hopefully find a good fine silver, you'll be able to understand, oh, okay. It's good in that sense. All this takes place in Oceania or Southeast Asia, Indian Ocean. It takes place in Ranapur. It's a fictional city in Thailand. The city is full of criminals. It has red light districts. There are a few factions in control of the city. The factions have so much control in the territory. They even control part of the military in Thailand. They even influence politics, and you see that in the second season a lot more, how they pretty much take over a whole city. There are many mixed cultures in there, Latin American, American, European. You get to see how the cultures are friendly towards each other by insulting each other. They're very hostile. There are several arcs in it. The episode count keeps going. It doesn't stop and start with the second season. So far there's not much action and most of it is talk. It seems like the story is actually moving faster, and next two arcs it's going to just blow up. It's pretty much like a bomb, and it's just it's been lit right now, and it's gonna pretty much blow up in the next episode, and it's pretty much gonna be a total war in the territory once you find out who versus who is fighting. It's pretty badass. There's so much stuff on it.
You say there's multiple seasons of this?
There's two seasons and the OVAs.
Cool.
I'd give it a 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
Yes, wow. For me, I love it.
I might have to watch this. Sounds really cool.
It's been on my interest plate for a long time, but there's so much things I have to watch these days that there's no way I'm
all 700 of them.
There's no way I'm going to get to Black Lagoon for a long time. It sucks because, you know, actually I might watch Black Lagoon some here soon if I finish Air. Quickly enough, then I might. I don't know what I'm going to watch after Air. I still have to finish Kenichi, so I don't think I have time for anything else. Whatever, sorry. Okay.
Okay. Then let's move to King.
Alright, I am going to be reading something amazing. And that is Ronin Warriors.
Oh my god.
And Ronin. I don't know who's all seen Drunken Warriors. Come on,
I haven't.
You haven't. Do you even remember this series that well, King?
I remember it to the key.
I remember the characters. That's all I remember.
Drunken Warriors is basically the Power Rangers of anime. It's an old school, classy, you know, just.
Oh, I think I remember this.
Just, you know, is the main story is, you know, very simple. Basically, a long, long time ago, there's this emperor named Talpa. And basically, you know, he wanted to rule everything, you know, take over the world, all that other good stuff. But then a guy called the Ancient came and he sealed Talpa away. Talpa was too strong to destroy. So basically, to seal him, he took his armor and he broke it down into 9 different armors. And eventually, Talpa was revived and he reclaimed 4 pieces of his armor. And these 4 pieces would become his generals to when he, you know, revived. So these are the bad guys. You have Talpa at the head and then the 4 generals underneath them. And then the rest of the 5 fell into the rest of the remaining 5 pieces of armors fell into the main heroes of the story. Basically, the main character is Ryo. Of course, he's fire because for some reason, the main character of anything has to be red and have to be fire. And then the next person he met was Sai. He was water. Then you have Sage, and he was the halo. I don't know what that coincides with.
There's a halo element now? What the fuck?
Well, he's called Sage of the Halo, so I don't know what that coincides with. Whatever. Then there's Kento of Rock, and then there's Rowan of the Strata, which was space or something like that. So, you have the 5 heroes. They're trying to take down Talpa. They have his armor, you know, pieces of his armor. It's really interesting. And these armors, they coincide with, you know, something that has to do with Japan. Like, Ryo's was righteousness, Sai's was justice. It just goes on. And the bad guys, the 4 generals ones were the seasons and other things like loyalty and pestilence and stuff like that. Obedience, stuff like that. I don't really remember all of them. But it's, you know, basically a Power Ranger thing. You know, every episode there's a fight. Every episode, they have to scream out the names of their special moves, and they have to transform all cool, and it's, you know, it's a little kid's dream, I guess. It's pretty, I don't know how it would fare today, but back then you're like, man, this was the shit, you know?
Drunken Warriors was the shit when you were young. It was awesome.
Yeah, when you're young, you're like, man, this is amazing. So, I really enjoyed it when I was young. You know, I always had to go with the green one. So I liked Sage and I liked the Green Ranger.
Is it,
you know,
the green guy, the chubby guy though?
No. Oh. Kento is the chubby guy. Oh, he's okay. Orange.
Orange, yeah. It was either orange or green. I was like, I don't remember.
So basically, it just goes from episode to episode to episode from them fighting Talpa's little minions and they're his generals, and it's like Power Rangers. Nothing really happens inside the story for a long time. It's just fights. That's, you know, all that's happening. But at the beginning of the story, it does set it up. When Talpa was sealed and stuff, when the warriors fought him, they all got sealed away too in different locations. Like Ryo was in a volcano, and Sai was underneath the ocean. Sage was inside. I forgot. I think Sage was, I don't even remember what Sage was where. And Kento was, I think, in a rock or something. And then it was, they all, you know, had to gather back together somehow. But it got to the point where all 4 of them were together and they were only missing Ronan. But he was, since he's of the Strata, he was in outer space. And this wasn't so a futuristic anime still. There's like, how the hell are you going to get into space and stuff like that? It was pretty interesting. It was funny. And eventually it got to the point where they would get their asses kicked, you know. And so they're like, oh, man, we have to do something. So let's fuse all of our armors together to make this one white, you know, kick-ass armor to destroy everything.
So, okay.
Yeah, it's Power Rangers. It's the anime, Power Rangers. It's so ridiculous. It's over the top. It's cheesy. But, you know, that stuff is what makes it good, I guess.
Where did you watch this? Like,
I watched this.
This is back on Cartoon Network.
A long time ago. Like, went to.
Yeah, I remember seeing this on
Cartoon. No, this was before Toonami. This is before Toonami was even out, that this was airing.
Yeah, it was.
This is just on, like, a cartoon block that Ronin Warriors was on. It was with, like, G-Force and fucking Speed Racer as well.
Yeah, I remember watching this back when I used to watch, like, Voltron as a kid.
Yeah, it was
way back in the day.
This came out a long time ago, but it was amazing. And, it had a better story than something like of Power Rangers. You know, there was betrayal, and some of the bad guys became good guys. Because basically, all of the bad guys were once good guys. The armors of Taupa, which were made for bad, they were all good guys, but he got control of these four, so is pretty interesting. So, and they each had their own element, and that was the cool thing back then. You know, what element are you? You know, I'm
kind of like Captain Planet.
Yeah, but let me see. There's an earth. There's a fire. There was a wind. There was a water, but instead of something like heart, Sage was light, and that's what the halo is.
I see.
So. That's light. They had, you know, it's the Japanese elements. So there's fire, light, water, earth, air, darkness, and then there's like poison, you know, all that metal, all that stuff. Interesting. So, I think it got like, I don't know how many seasons it got. I think it got maybe one or two.
It was like 50 some episodes long, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it was like at least 4 seasons, I think.
I vaguely remember watching this, but I do remember watching it back in the day.
Yeah, and it had the awesome transformations. Like, it's like Power Rangers. They would always start off fighting and just, you know, without their armor on, but then something happens like, oh, snap, we need to transform. Okay, let's transform. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. You have to go into this funny background while we transform, and the enemies can't attack us while we're transforming because we're in this background dimension to make it all look all and spiffy and stuff like that. So, you know, stuff like that is kind of cheesy. But I liked how they all just yelled out the names of their special attacks. I can remember all of them to a key in my head, but I don't want to say them because I would sound stupid. So, because, you know, it was one of my favorite things growing up, and it really got me into anime and stuff like that. I'll give it a 5 out of 5.
Man, if you watched it now, it'd be like a 2 or something. You'd be like, oh, this has so many plot holes. The romance sucks, and like picking it apart and shit.
Now, this is a man's anime. There's no, you know, there's no love interest. I don't know.
Usually some animes don't really stand the test of time.
This is just manly, hand-to-hand fighting swords. You know, weapons, all that other good stuff. There's barely any female characters inside the show, okay? And the main character has a white tiger as a pet. And the white tiger gets armor when he
transforms. I remember the white tiger now. Oh, dude.
Yeah, that was sick.
Nostalgia. God.
Yes, yeah, it's things like that. It's awesome.
I feel kind of left out because I didn't even hear about this until, like, you guys mentioned it. Yeah, this island.
I do remember now that he talks about it. I do remember watching this like when I was like about 6 or 7 years old, way back in the day.
Yeah, it's an old anime. It is amazing.
All right.
Need to get on it, Dave, but you'll never appreciate it like how we do.
Because I didn't grow up with it. Alright. Anyways. Let's move on to Ben.
Alright. I'm gonna review this week Apocalypse Zero, the anime, not the manga. Get ready. This is considered one of the worst anythings of anything. Let alone manga. This is one of the worst
visual media you could ever watch with your eyes.
I've heard your brief description of this already. This is going to be good.
Okay.
One minute.
Okay. He's going to buy Ronin Warriors merchandise.
He's going to go buy that white tiger.
Yes, I need that white tiger. One minute.
Oh, I can't watch it. I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of a review. Fucking A.
Anyway. Okay, go on.
All right. So, Apocalypse... Where the fuck was I again? Apocalypse Zero. All right. I don't know what to say about this. Okay. Basically, in this alternate reality, there's a bunch of natural disasters that happen, and the entire world is reduced to, like, an apocalypse place. Like, it's... Everything's destroyed. Like, the cities are gone, and the only survivors... Like, every survivor does what they want. Like, there's this... This sort of revolves around this stupid school full of survivors that still go to school for some reason. The story makes no sense. It's all over the place. Basically, the anime starts out with this guy. I think his name is Kakugo Hagakure, and his sister brother, I'm not sure, Harara. I don't know her name, but set of the same name, Harara, whatever. Basically, one is a good guy, one's a bad guy. Harara, I hate saying that name, turns into a bad guy because... they're both given armor by their mentor and teacher or father or grandfather, whoever the fuck he was. And the main character, Kakugo, gets this armor called Zero. It can talk. It can cry blood for some reason. And it fuses with his body by injecting its nervous system into him or something. And then Harara gets this armor called Hitomi or... no, it's not that. I can't remember. Fuck it. But anyway, she gets an armor... she gets... I don't even fucking know anymore. It's a guy with boobs and a vagina, but they consider him his brother.
It's stupid
and all of the place. Basically, that's how the story opens up. They both get their armors. Harara kills their mentor, teacher, whatever his name was, and Kakugo gets thrown into an ocean with his armor for some reason. And it's basically a revenge story where Kakugo ends up transferring to the school for no reason, and the story kind of, from then on, it's just a bunch of, like, battles against these like, giant monster things, kind of. The first monster was this naked lady with spikes on her vagina, and she was giant. Like, she was super fat. Like, she was as tall as, like, a three-story building, and she basically picks up this girl and then squeezes her until, like, all her guts fly out of her mouth. Then the next day, the girl that got all her guts squeezed out comes back with a bandage on her face, and then it's perfectly fine. She can talk perfectly, too. Like, nothing fucking happened. No one dies in this anime, except until, like, their entire body is destroyed. There's a guy who gets digested in someone's stomach. His skin is gone, his, like, organs are gone, and he still somehow survives. And he's like a skeleton crawling on the ground, and I don't understand how this is even possible. How is this, like, I don't understand how this exists in an anime world. It doesn't make sense. It is a joke. I laughed my ass off during this. If it's taken seriously, it's not going to be that funny. I watched this in Japanese dub. I'm pretty sure it'd be funnier in English dub. This is hilarious. This is the most retarded excuse of animation I've ever seen. The animation wasn't that bad. Like, it was very gory, and there was a lot of, like, there's a ton of nudity. There's this one demon, I think in the first or second episode, I can't remember, that has, like, her vagina can excrete, like, this acid or whatever. That can, like, she seduces men and then has their penis melt off or something. It's stupid, but it's funny stupid because she transforms into this giant thing with tits for eyes and a big tongue coming out of her vagina. It doesn't make any sense. It's amazing how this actually made it. And if you have to watch it, seriously, it's funny. The fights are terrible. The main character, the way he has special moves, of course. He has to shout off all of his special moves, of course. It's a older anime, so of course you know that's how it works with superhero animes. And but his attacks kind of suck. Like, one of his attacks is just reaching out his hand like he's doing the Buddhist palm from Kung Fu Hustle or whatever. But it doesn't really do much. It just impact or something like that on the body, and it, I don't know, explodes organs or something like that. Makes people throw up. But and the final fight is so disappointing, too. Because near the end, he fights this, like, troll thing. don't know, he has like this big spike for a penis, but then his penis turns into a dragon. And
oh my
I don't know what's going on anymore. And then fucking he, I don't know, someone, his penis gets cuts off and his penis is the source of his power. And I don't know. And he can, whenever he spits icicles. It's stupid. And then you find out that his sister brother possesses the troll that has a dragon penis. And that's the final fight, basically. It's just him versus the, you know, unpenis troll. And the unpenis troll is possessed by his brother. And his brother gets killed because they're in sync and his brother used this secret jutsu or whatever, I don't fucking know. And it's the stupidest last fight ever for the stupidest fucking anime I've ever seen. It is marvelous. I can't believe this actually exists. This is considered one of the worst animes of all time, and I laughed so hard during it because it was so funny. It made no sense, and the characters were so over the top. The main character reminded me of is his name Kosuke Sagara from the main character of Fumofu, because he was so emotionalist and everything. No matter what happened around him, he showed no emotion. He was always in that blank stare. And he has, for some reason, he has these orbs all over his body. And then right at the last episode, you realize what they're used for. So he absorbs them in his body, and he becomes a stone. And that's kind of it. And his body doesn't really get that harder. I mean, it doesn't really help him in battle or anything. It's just stupid, mindless, fun shit. I think the anime wasn't taking itself seriously because it kind of knew how stupid it was being. Because they did a lot of stupid shit with it. The main love interest is that girl with a big bow over her head. I have no idea what that was going for because nothing ever happens with it. The bullies turned out to be friends. I don't understand. Nothing really makes sense in this show. So I'm going to give it a 1 out of 5. This show is terrible, but it's fucking hilarious. And if you're in the right mood, you should so check it out. Because it is
very good. I don't care if you gave it a 1 out of 5. I'm so totally watching this just to see how absurd it is.
It's you know, Dave, you remember what I was talking about with Mars of Destruction, the worst anime of all time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a point in Mars of Destruction where it was so funny it's bad. Apocalypse Zero is so funny it's bad all the way fucking through. Like, there's no point where I wasn't laughing my ass off at how stupid and retarded this show was. So, it's kind of like that.
How long is it?
It's 2 episodes long. Each episode is like 30 minutes, I think. So, I don't know. It's an OVA. Based off the manga by that one guy. And the director of this is Toshiki Hirono. I don't think he's made a good anime yet. I haven't watched any of his other animes. He's made like Dangayo, whatever. Angel Heart, Devilman Lady. I've never watched any of these, so I wouldn't really know. But, I don't know. So far, Apocalypse Zero. It was hilarious to watch for a first time, and I will probably go back to it just for laughs, but don't expect a good anime out of it. Seriously, it's not good at all. But it was hilarious. Seriously, I think you'd like it, Lurks.
I'll definitely give it a try.
Anyway, that's all I guess.
For a good laugh.
Did you rate this higher than Mars of Destruction?
Yeah, I did. It was funnier than Mars of Destruction. I swear to God, I can't. I did a very poor description on the girl with the acid vagina, what she transformed into. But she transformed into like a Tengu looking motherfucker with like, she has these boobs that can, she can reattach her boobs. Her boobs get cut off and then she just reattaches them for some reason. It makes no sense, but
oh it's my god.
And stupid. She also has a spiky vagina, but you know.
How long is it?
It's about an hour long if you watch both episodes. It's funny as shit though. It's stupid as hell.
This sounds 100% awesome in the worst possible way.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know what else to say. That's my review.
Jeez.
Jeez. Okay.
Why do you watch stuff like this?
Dude, it was the worst anime of all time. I had to check it out. It was just like one day I was just like, okay, I have nothing to watch. I'm not really in the mood to watch any of the new series. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll just watch Apocalypse Zero. I mean, it's can't be that bad. And then I watched them like, oh, it really wasn't that bad. Here's what happened. I watched a clip of the giant naked fat chick squeezing the guts out of that girl, and I was like, what is this from? And then someone said, oh, it's called Apocalypse Zero. Check that anime out now.
Yeah, that's what got Ben hooked. Is guts being squeezed out of some chick.
Yeah, it's weird because the giant fat chick considers herself to be the most beautiful lady of all time, and anytime she sees a girl with another guy, she always tries to kill the girl or something like that. And she's just giant fat ass girl with giant titties and fucking giant lips and teeth. Don't even talk about it. Whatever. Doesn't matter anymore. So yeah, that's it.
Jesus.
All I want to say. Anyway, Dave, what are you reviewing this week?
What I'm reviewing this week is a short series called Detroit Metal City.
Yeah! Sorry. I love that series.
And what this is about is this kind of this shy guy called Nagishi, and he like wants to become this he wants to sing these like little cute songs about rainbows and little bunnies and all that, but it turns out that he somehow became this lead singer for this metal band called Detroit Metal City. And on stage he has this alternate persona called Krauser. And on
Krauser's
stage,
the
like,
third Dave.
Krauser the third. And he's like singing about all these horrible things, like you should rape your children and
you rape
kill
your children
parents.
And murder your parents and
what the hell?
Yes.
It's what do you guys want?
it's funny. It's a
okay. How's that funny?
Just why this is it's no. Hush.
And it's like odd that he's like it's completely different personality than his own, because you know he honestly doesn't want to do these bad things, you know, he just wants to live like a pretty peaceful life, but you know he has this pretty abusive manager who kind of like wants him to do all these terrible things to.
I love the manager, she's so hilarious.
Yeah, all the while during this series, you know, there are like these people that try to like warm up to him, like this best friend that he met a while ago, and like it turns out that friend grew up to be a rapper, and that rapper's also competing against his alternate persona, but he doesn't know that during.
Oh yeah, season. Yeah. You mean the guy, the fat guy, or whatever.
Yeah, the rival guy.
Yeah, that was a great punch.
And, oh god, I feel sorry for that rapper because you know.
It was hilarious because Detroit Metal City was fighting against the friend in that one battle of the bands or whatever. And like they like the rapper guy didn't know that his best friend was the lead singer, so he was going all ape shit on his mom and stuff. I don't know.
I mean, well, that's what things that I don't like about the series is that, you know, the main character has no reason to do these things. You know, he's so concerned with protecting his reputation as like this his alternate persona Krauser, and he's like doing these horrible things not on purpose, but accidentally. Like, he'll trip on this one policewoman, and it looks like he's raping her, but everyone is cheering around him and saying, yeah, you're so badass, you should keep doing that stuff. And it increases his reputation. But, you know, he's trying to, like, say sorry and all that stuff, but no one really believes him. They just think he's, like, the coolest person ever. And it's curious how, like, why he's even doing this in the first place.
But, it fucks with his love life, too, like when he, like the girl he really likes, and sometimes he slips up and accidentally says something in his Krauser personality or whatever.
Really raunchy to her.
Yeah, when they're in the middle of, like, some peaceful conversation, he'll just say, like, fuck, cunt, bitch, pig, or whatever, or in the middle of it for no reason, really, just random.
But, I mean, yeah, that's what stands out in Detroit Metal City is that it's very funny, you know? See this guy get into these really messed up situations, and he's trying to be this really nice guy, but everyone expects him to be this really, you know, hardcore singer in this indie band. And this show's, I guess, very sort of controversial, I'd say. I mean, there's like
it's,
a lot of profanity
it's
thrown
very
around.
Very controversial.
Yeah, there's a lot of profanity thrown around, and, you know, I don't know. I guess, like, you know, you see a lot of these people are supporting this this badass singer who's doing all these really raunchy stuff.
What do you think about the movie?
The movie?
They made when he did that epic spit into the mouth, and the guy's head exploded. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
They do include, like, at one point in the series, he's like, Krauser signs a contract with this movie-making business, and they just want him in the film just so, you know, they can get more viewers. And everyone's always just excited to see Krauser in that one moment, and they completely changed up the movie script.
But Like in the movie, like all throughout the movie, you just see him standing in the background doing nothing, kind of, or like helping out.
The movie's like a regular cutesy romance movie, but in the end, you see like this Krauser guy butting in and just ruining up these couple's love life. Like, I don't remember what happened, but you know, you said he made the guy's head explode or something, and he steals the woman.
He like did this spit in his mouth, and some epic music started playing. And when the spit actually reached his mouth, his head started swelling up and it exploded for no reason. It was it was like the greatest cinematic masterpiece.
Yeah. But Debris Metal City is very short. It's only 11 episodes long, I think. And yeah, it's pretty funny. I did see a bit of the live action version of Detroit Metal City.
I haven't seen that yet, but I don't think anything can top the anime version of it anyway.
Well, it didn't look bad, to be honest. But something that struck me in the live action version is that the guy who plays Nagishi is also the same guy who played the live action version of L in Death Note.
Oh, no way!
Yeah, and it's like it's the same guy. And you can, like, you know, he does a pretty good performance in that movie.
What did you think of the music? I mean, I know you're not, I don't know about you, Dave, but I picture you as more of a
I didn't like the music that often. It's kind of annoying to listen to.
I like the music because I'm, like,
I actually liked the rainbow songs he was singing.
What the fuck? Song, what? Like every time he sings these rainbow songs wherever he's at, everyone starts hating him and they just walk away. They think like he's not even trying or something like that. About rainbows, hugs, and love.
It could have been a really good song. I mean, it's not bad, honestly. It's just kind of nice.
You should watch Beck, Dave. Seriously.
Oh, I'm not saying it's a masterpiece, man. It's just fine.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I'll give Detroit Metal City a 4 out of 5. Solid 4 out of 5.
I saw that rating coming from a mile away.
This is Anime After Life Podcast, episode 10. Thank you for listening.